Prescott is in the gun. He's got three wide, fourth and three. He looks at a four-man front. They bring the blitz. They're going to bring five. Prescott winds up arching spiral far sideline. Diving attempt. Lamb incomplete. Off his outstretched gloves. On the far side of the field, it's incomplete at the Philadelphia 22 down the far sideline. And on downs, the Eagles will get it.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Oh, the Dallas Cowboys almost had it. The offense lets them down at the end of the game, or maybe credit to the Philadelphia defense, but CeeDee Lamb with a couple drops on that drive. That one would have been a spectacular catch if he had connected on fourth down, but still the second highest paid wide receiver in the league, and Dak Prescott, the highest paid wide receiver when they needed it most, Pearl, could not sustain the drive. They lose 24-20.
None of that happens if they don't have to sit out an hour and 5 minutes. The game plays out 100% differently. We were in the middle of one of the all-time great primetime shootouts ruined by Mother Nature.
To break down the game, first you can go answer our poll question at Maggie and Pearl. Are the Cowboys good? Also, what was the bigger turning point last night? Jalen Carter getting ejected from the game before an offensive snap was played for spitting on Dak Prescott, or that weather delay that Perloff just referenced, an hour and 4 minutes because of lightning in the area? Let's turn to our pal Nick Costos. Oh, the host of You Better, You Bet. We are so excited to have Nick back for us this football season. How you been, Costos?
Everything's great. Football season, awesome to be back, I will say. Bet the over last night.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, it's tough. And Perloff, you're right. I won't even add to what you said, just to repeat it. Yeah. We were in the midst of one of the great, like, opening game shootouts, primetime shootouts. Yeah. Scores on every possession. Weather delay happens. Not a score from there. And 41 points in the first half, and it ends at 44. A pretty, pretty annoying beat in the first game
yeah.
of the season.
Nick, you know how I knew it was football season when I saw the random tweet by Nick Costos. I just need a Hunter Lepke touchdown for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
the random player touchdown. And there was two guys you had. I was like, oh, we're back, baby.
Well, we had Miles Sanders, too, and he ripped off. And what a jerk.
He couldn't get to the end zone.
Gets chased down and then fumbles the ball and like screws the over up. So he screwed the over up twice on one drive in the span of a couple plays. That was pretty frustrating.
You know, Nick, we are starting a new segment this football season, which you're welcome to participate in. It's called Coming Clean. And this is where we talk about all the bets we lost. I think I've got a bit of a handle on what your night was like with the over. Any other painful ones?
Do you guys play like the Hillary Duff song as like the intro music for it? Like the Laguna Beach theme song?
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I loved Kristen Cavallari before she was famous back in the day on Laguna Beach. That was the over was massively frustrating. It was not great. The anytime touchdown bets are at long prices. Honestly, I thought they were great bets. Jaden Blue was inactive in the game. Mm. We had two of the three running backs. And honestly, like, if you bet the game last night and you could have won your bets, and I lost, and I would say this even if I had won, like, the game completely gets turned upside down when Jalen Carter gets ejected before like one play from scrimmage. He's the best defensive tackle in the league. The best defensive tackle in the league. The best defensive player on what projects to be a really good defense for the Eagles, and all of a sudden he's not playing in the game. Him not playing changes everything about how you would feel about this game. So, I mean, I don't even know how you're supposed to feel about this going in when it completely gets turned on his head before one snap on offense is even played. So I'm turning the page past this game, and I'm ready to go for tomorrow and then for week one on Sunday.
Okay, before we get to the individual games and the money lines, over-unders, all the props, all the good stuff we do with Nick Costos, the host of You Better, You Bet, on Odyssey. For people with survivor pools, what's your advice for week one? Who do you think is a sure bet?
All right. So I think there's two schools of thought here on how to play survivor. Do you want to take the sure thing and just survive this week? And then potentially and if you do that, you take the Denver Broncos, who are 8.5-point home favorites against the Tennessee Titans, and the number one pick in the draft, Cam Ward, making his first NFL start on the road, in altitude, in September, against what could be the best defense in the league. So I think that's kind of like the layup pick. Now, the layup pick does not always win. Think about Cincinnati last year in New England, losing that game against the Patriots, knocked so many people out of Survivor, which doesn't mean the Broncos are going to lose. Just you know, if you wanted to get a little funky with game theory and hold the Broncos for a date later in the season, so myself, Femi Abebefe, my co-host, and Tyler Morales, one of the guys on our crew, we enter one of the big contests in Vegas, and we did this on the show yesterday, and we decided to get a little funky, and this is like a decent-sized big money entry. We're going to take the Jaguars against the Carolina Panthers. We like Jacksonville in the game organically. Jacksonville's left tackle, Ike Ekwonu, had an appendectomy like last week, didn't practice yesterday or Wednesday, looks unlikely to play. I really like Jacksonville this year, so I think the Jaguars are going to win. Now, the Broncos are the safer pick, but we're going to try and like zig while others are zagging, right? Take the road less traveled here with the Jaguars. But I think if you're out there listening or watching and you just want to survive, like that's your number one goal and you're not looking down the road, I think you take the Denver Broncos and you don't think twice about it.
Nick, you got it. But psychologically, you got to get through that week one. Like you can't take your risk in week one, don't you? Okay, no, you're that sure on the Jags?
I like Jacksonville a lot this year.
Okay.
Like, I think Liam Cohen's going to win Coach of the Year. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a big year. I love Travis Hunter. Yeah. I love Brian Thomas Jr. So I think I'm higher on Jacksonville than most.
Love it. Hey, I want to ask about tonight's game, Chiefs Chargers. I think you know this. Andy Reid obviously is famous coming off a bye when he has time to prepare for a game. Does that apply to week one as well? And if you don't have any numbers on it, just your opinion, I feel like Andy Reid's had a lot of time to sort of figure some things out for this game.
Well, what I would say to that is, like, the other coach also has a lot of time.
Yeah, but
like
the other coach is all... It doesn't matter, though, against the superpower of Andy Reid.
But this is it's a pretty good coach on the other side here, and Jim Harbaugh coming up tonight in Brazil. The thing that I'll be watching, and I'll give you a pick on the game, the thing that I'm most interested to watch in tonight's game, and I said this last month, about a month ago, on You Better, You Bet, and it's going to sound crazy. I think it is a little crazy, actually. It's a little hyperbolic, but I think it matters a lot. I think the most important player in the NFL this season might be the 32nd overall pick from this past April's NFL draft, Josh Simmons, the left tackle out of Ohio State, who the Chiefs and the Eagles got Jihad Campbell, who like looks just amazing how this works. He looked great last night also. Where Simmons would have been like a top 10 pick had he not gotten injured at Ohio State last year, slips to pick number 32. He looked awesome, and I know it's preseason, but he looked great. In preseason, he basically was starting at left tackle from the start of training camp. And if he can be good at left tackle, and it looks like he's going to be, right, it really solidifies an offensive line that was a huge problem for the Chiefs last year. This is a team that is saying, Mahomes keeps saying, we want to push the ball down the field. And they've got the weapons to do that. If Mahomes gets time in the pocket, gets time to be able to get the ball down the field, his receivers can get down the field. So I'm going to be watching Josh Simmons tonight and this Chiefs offensive line to see if they can hold up, if he specifically can hold up guys against Khalil Mack. And I think the Chiefs offensive line has advantages elsewhere too. I love the Chiefs in the game. The number's 3, maybe 3.5. I will put the Chiefs in some money line parlays. I think Kansas City will win. Do I think they win by 4? Maybe not, but I do think the Chiefs will win the game tonight. I'm not as high on the Chargers as most this season.
Nick Costos joining us from You Better You Bet's going to be with us all football season. Now, Nick, something that I generally like week one is home dogs, right? I've got a couple this week. The Bears, the Bills, Seahawks, Atlanta, New Orleans, Cleveland. Any of those home dogs, some of them are really small spreads. You know, it's like 1.5, something like that. But technically, they are home dogs. Who do you like, if any, out of that crew?
Yeah, I'll roll through a couple that I like. I wouldn't say I love, but I like Atlanta at home against Tampa. Now, something to keep in mind, the Tristan Wirfs injury, and for people that don't know, Tristan Wirfs might be the best left tackle in the league. He's out at least the first 3 games of the year, maybe the first 4, and he's Baker Mayfield's blindside protector, so he's out for this game. But very quietly, Atlanta lost its starting right tackle, who's awesome, Caleb McGarry. He's out for the season, and Michael Penix is a lefty, so McGarry is ostensibly like the left tackle of this team, the blindside protector of Penix. He's out for the year, and the backup to McGarry, Storm Norton, is out for 6 to 8 weeks. So the Falcons are starting a third-string right tackle who's, again, protecting the blindside of the lefty Michael Penix Jr. going up against Hassan Reddick, who's like basically coming off a year off. I think that's the matchup that'll decide this game. I'm way higher on Michael Penix Jr. than a lot of people are. I watched Alabama suck this weekend, and all I can think of is Penix made all these people rich at Washington. So I like Atlanta. I wouldn't say I love Atlanta, but I do like the Atlanta Falcons. see another home dog.
Sorry, I forgot. Okay. Also, the Jets are a home dog as well.
Oh, I don't Pittsburgh. Like them. Yeah. I'll give you. We could do the Monday night game if you want. Also, I do like the Bears a little bit.
Okay,
but the game that I. The home underdog that I love. And I would say I love Chicago also, but we're still waiting for some injury info on Minnesota's offensive line, left tackle Christian Darrisaw, who's awesome. I love Seattle at home against San Francisco. So much is made of the zigzag with the 49ers, right, since 19, whether it's either championship game or Super Bowl or miss the playoffs. Like, that's been championship game or Super Bowl, miss playoffs. Boom, boom, boom. So last year they go 6-11. Season from hell, probably the best double-digit loss team in the history of the league with all the injuries they had, all the special teams gaps, all like the close losses. San Francisco way better than 6-11 last year. I think people are just expecting the Niners to roll out of bed and be awesome this year. I think there's a chance when it's all said and done that the Seattle Seahawks in year two of Mike McDonald, great yacht rock singer also, that this could be the best defense in football. And I don't like San Francisco's offensive line outside of Trent Williams. Christian McCaffrey just popped up on the injury report. I think this is shaping up for Seattle not just to... I know people don't like Sam Darnold, but I really like this defense. For Seattle not just to cover the spread, but to win the game outright. I like Seattle plus the 2.5. I think Seattle's going to beat San Francisco on Sunday.
All right, Nick. I have a week one question, kind of a season-long question. How do you think people in Vegas are viewing the Matthew Stafford back situation? They're 3-point favorites against Houston. Does it make you nervous that Stafford might not last?
Definitely. The Rams are a really interesting team, Perloff, in that regard, where I think, you know, the NFC West, I think you can make the case for any of those four teams to maybe win the division. I think they all have that kind of upside. I think the Rams are the only one of the four that you can actually say could get to and win a Super Bowl. Like, the Rams' upside is to win the Super Bowl this year. The downside is that the 37-year-old quarterback with a bad back, who's now doing like a podcast, which is like a little weird, like probably gearing up for retirement would be my guess. Is he going to make it through the year? And coming up on Sunday, obviously, here's a really fearsome Houston Texans defensive front with Will Anderson Jr., who could win Defensive Player of the Year, and Danielle Hunter. Texans defense is awesome. So the Rams are one of those teams that's fascinating, right, where they could win big on Sunday. Stafford can look like a shell of himself and they could lose. They could win the Super Bowl, or Stafford could play in five games and they could miss the playoffs. So many different things could occur with this team. If I'm betting this game, I would opt to be safe and take the 3 with the Houston Texans. I don't say that with a ton of confidence. I don't love the Texans this year. And for what it's worth, the Rams defensive line should have its way with a remade and terrible Houston Texans offensive line on Sunday.
Nick Costos is the host of You Better You Bet. He's going to join us every week during the football season to help you make some money. Nick, were you part of the big contingent of people I saw jump on the Green Bay Packers Super Bowl bandwagon after the Micah Parsons trade, and by extension, tell us who you're picking for the Super Bowl?
Okay, so I would say Green Bay definitely becomes a more viable Super Bowl team, obviously, with the addition of Micah Parsons. And what I had said all offseason, where I was falling short of saying that I think Green Bay was very good basically everywhere. Like, they have a very good roster. But the question that I would ask people that love the Packers is, like, where are they great? Where can you find the great on this roster? It's all theoretical. It's all very good. Is any of it going to be great? And they obviously solved that problem. They got one of the best, maybe the best pure pass rusher in the league in Micah Parsons. So the Packers' ceiling is like the Rams' ceiling, right? It's to win the Super Bowl. So the Packers obviously could win the Super Bowl. I will say, the Packers are dealing with some injuries heading into week one. Jaden Reed did practice yesterday, one of their starting wide receivers. We'll see if he plays. Nate Hobbs, one of their starting corners, is dealing with an injury. And Parsons also isn't 100%, like, may need an epidural to play in this game on Sunday. And it feels to me like people are sleeping on the Lions a little bit. And while Green Bay made all the headlines with the Parsons trade, I think Detroit has more blue chip players on the roster. I bet Lions plus 2.5. I think the Lions are going to win on Sunday in Lambeau. So I do like Detroit in the game.
And who's your Super Bowl pick?
Let's make this really boring. Maggie, I'm sorry to say this. I know you and so many others, it's like when the Patriots were awesome, everyone hoped and prayed and wish casted every year, this is going to be the year that the Patriots lose. And we're doing it now. Everyone's down on Mahomes.
Yep.
And the Chiefs. Everyone's picking Baltimore. Everybody's picking Buffalo. And I think Baltimore and Buffalo could have gaudy regular season records. Like, both teams are going to be playoff teams. Both teams are going to win their division. When it gets to January and you're faced with that decision as a bettor, right? It's one thing just to say, in theory, well, you know, the Ravens could beat the Chiefs. The Bills could. Would you bet on it? I wouldn't. I'll take the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl this year. Boring, yes, but I think it'll be a winner at the end. Yeah, you know what? I'd like to win.
Okay.
So I'll take the best quarterback.
So I also put the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I'm one of those people who drank the Kool-Aid a little bit, though, on the San Francisco bouncing back before that McCaffrey injury news. So I have San Francisco finally beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Who do you have the Chiefs beating?
So I had a Super Bowl rematch with the Chiefs and the Eagles, mm-hmm. and I won't back off that off of last night. Although there were a couple things in the game that were concerning to me in the Eagles-Cowboys game last night. Number one would be, and we all knew this, like I've been saying it for 2 months, Adoree Jackson can't play.
Yep.
And you saw that last night. The Cowboys relentlessly targeting Adoree Jackson. At some point, they're going to have to try Jacorian Bennett, who they traded for from the Raiders, or Kelee Ringo, the former Georgia Bulldog, someone at that number two cornerback spot opposite Quinyon Mitchell. You know, can Jalen Carter keep his head on straight? I didn't love the construct of the offense last night in Kevin Petullo's first game. Why we can't get the ball to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, I'm not really sure. And honestly, like, if C.D. Lamb catches the ball, like, Dallas probably wins. I'm not going to sound the alarms for Philly. I'll still stick with the Eagles as my pick. But there were a couple things last night that I didn't expect that were a little concerning for me, Perloff, with your Eagles.
I mean, it's, what is it, 3rd and 23 about 5 times, and then not a single DB could cover anyone when you know they're going 23 yards. Like, the secondary is a hot mess disaster.
And the players aren't, like, that's the thing. I don't think you can fix it. You can fix it with them. Like, Jalen Carter can help fix it if he's playing.
Howie.
Like, the players aren't that good in the secondary outside Mitchell and DeGene.
He's got to trade for a cornerback. By the way,
well, he did. They just have to play him, Jacorian Bennett. And I think he's their second best corner.
I did have one college question.
Yeah,
for
I was
going to
ask
Costas.
That. We need...
Yeah, big game of the weekend, obviously, is got to be Oklahoma and Michigan. Oklahoma, 4.5-point favors, what I'm seeing right now. Nick, what's your lean?
So I think this is kind of an all or nothing game. I think this is either Michigan wins outright or Oklahoma slams them. I don't know if we get like a situation where Michigan loses a close game. The reason why I'm saying that is Brent Venables, and you know, you take this in context, right? Because he coached some super teams at Clemson when he's the defensive coordinator there. When he goes up against true freshman quarterbacks, like, he absolutely wrecks them. Like, he has 21-5, 26 games against true freshman quarterbacks. Obviously, he's a defensive head coach. The thing that trips me up a little bit here, and I can be wrong, and that's why if I'm betting this game, I want to go for a big price and take Michigan to win as opposed to Michigan plus points. Bryce Underwood is, like, not of this earth. this dude's an alien. And if you didn't watch, and I understand it's New Mexico at home. This is Oklahoma on the road. It's two different things. True freshman quarterback. I think he's going to be the number one pick in the draft when he's eligible. Like, he looks different. He moves different. His arm's ridiculous. Like, he's the next big thing in college football. Michigan true freshman quarterback Bryce Underwood. So I think if you like Oklahoma and you think Underwood, maybe this is the lights are too big and Venables is too good, I would bet Oklahoma alt lines. -9.5, -13.5. And if you like Michigan to keep it close, I would just bet the Wolverines to win because it means that Bryce Underwood's good. And if that's the case, I think they just win the game.
Since we have you, Nick, where were you on the Arch Manning bad performance? Are you in panic mode? Is it going to be a third round pick, or are you just one game?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if there's any shame in losing, like, on the road to the defending champions, like Texas did losing to Ohio State. I would say a couple things outside of Arch's performance and a couple things in Arch's performance were concerning. Like, the wide receivers didn't look great to me for Texas. And I'm watching the game and I'm thinking, are they going to be able to win, like, multiple playoff games against really good teams? I think Sark's, like, a great coach and he's a great recruiter. I don't love him as a big game coach, like an in-game coach. And the thing about Arch that I didn't like, and he missed some made some throws at the end. What's his delivery? Like, he looks like a seventh inning, like, lefty specialist, like sidearm throws. Like, why is he throwing it like that? Like, what's happening here with Arch Manning that, like, that's what he's doing mechanically? So, look, like, can Texas still make the playoff? Of course. Like, they lost to Ohio State on the road, but would I bet Texas to win the national championship now or Arch to win the Heisman? Not with your money.
Well, now it's the question, do they cover the 36.5 against San Jose State this weekend? Try to get Arch back on track.
Probably, because like Arch will be able to run for, I mean, I would say probably, but I'll just quickly, I'll give you two other bets that I like for college quickly.
Yeah.
I like Iowa State against Iowa. That number has gotten bet out to 3.5. Like, I would not bet that number now, but I do think Iowa State will win. People want to make, like, a money line parlay of some kind. I love Iowa State quarterback Rocco Becht. And I feel like I'm against a lot of people on this one. I love Baylor against SMU. It's a pretty huge game. Baylor currently is a 2.5-point road dog in this game. I think it's going to go to 3. I would love to bet +3 with Baylor. If not, I'll bet the money line +2.5. Auburn slammed Baylor on Friday night. To me, that's way more about Auburn being awesome. And Baylor actually outgained them on a yards per play basis. I love Baylor quarterback Sawyer Robertson. Dave Aranda's defense bounced back after getting shredded by Auburn. Give me Baylor to win on the road at SMU, and we can wait for a +3, see if it pops in between now and tomorrow.
Nick Costos, you can check him out, the host of You Better You Bet with Femi Abebefe. Absolutely love it, Nick. You're the best. Thanks for doing it. And we'll look forward to talking with you all season long. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have to come clean on a lot of losers.
Yeah, coming clean.
Wishing everybody Minimal Sweats Winning Bets the absolute very best of luck. And you guys take that idea on the house for the Hillary Duff music for the intro of that segment.
You're love basically it. Producer of the show now. You get producer you credit, so thank you.
You got it.
See you next week. All right, Nick Costos with us. Love that. Want to unpack a lot of things he touched on there, but first...
You know it, Mag. Football season is back on Prize Picks. Every day we make choices, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Millions of users, billions of dollars awarded winnings. Prize Picks, best place to put your takes to the test. We've been doing it all week now that all the sports are going. It's so much fun. The app's so simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projections. If you're right, you win big.
Okay, perusing Prize Picks right now. Can I offer you a little? We got NFL football tonight. So you got Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert. You can go over or under, more than, less than on their passing yards. Or you can put that together with maybe a Juan Soto hitter fantasy score. I just got everyone's attention on the other side of the glass. Or how about this, Pearl? Did you know we got a college game tonight as well? Miller Moss in action for Louisville against James Madison, one of those sneaky teams to go with the passing more than 259.5. I actually like that for Miller Moss in a big spot. What do you have to do? Well, you just put two picks together and see if you're right. See if you win. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MMP. Get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MMP on Prize Picks. You get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
This NASCAR race preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. When it comes to NASCAR, we turn to Manny. What do you got, bud?
All right, guys, the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs rolls into week two. It's the Enjoy Illinois 300 from the Worldwide Technology Raceway in Madison, Illinois. That's a suburb of St. Louis. Chase Briscoe is at the top of the
St. Louis, not in Illinois.
St. Louis, yeah, it's a suburb of St. Louis, Missouri.
How does that work? Sorry to interrupt.
Illinois is shares a border with the state of Missouri.
Okay, sorry.
As I was saying, Chase Briscoe, he is at the top of the playoff standings after winning last week at Darlington. The number 19 for Joe Gibbs Racing led 307 of the 367 laps in that race. Still two more races to complete until we whittle down the list of 16 to 12 this weekend and next weekend's race. So there's still a bit of time for Joey Logano, Austin Dillon, Alex Bowman, and Josh Berry to get out the basement. Race week two of the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. It's the Enjoy Illinois 300 from the Worldwide Technology Raceway. Green flag waves Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. local.
Manny Tires, thank you so much. Manny Maps. Okay.
I'm stunned. I'm sorry to interrupt the sponsored read.
Yeah. Did you look up Madison, Illinois?
I did. And when you said Enjoy Illinois in a St. Louis suburb, my brain was just like, what?
And well,
but there it is.
I don't know what you want me to tell you, man.
Bogus, hands off the wheel. This is Manny.
Thank you.
Segment.
Thank you for the lesson.
Get a globe, bro.
Oh, speaking of which, I don't know if we have that sound. Travis Kelce, we'll get it for you. Travis Kelce was clowned by Patrick Mahomes for not knowing where Brazil was, and Kelce got his revenge on Mahomes in a very fun way, which we'll get for you in a moment. Poll questions, though. Got a new one up there for you, fresh within the last hour. Is CeeDee Lamb a big game player? It's really split right now, 49%, 51%. It's a fair question by EJ. Is he a big game player? Most notably, what Jerry Jones called the worst loss in Dallas Cowboys history, or I guess his history with the Cowboys, was to the Green Bay Packers 2 years ago. CeeDee Lamb, notable no-show in that game, along with the run defense. And then last night, at times, he looked unbelievable. And then down the stretch, when the Cowboys had three drive, basically, to go and win the game, he had some major drops.
True. I mean, here's the thing. First of all, those were not easy plays.
Especially the last one. I don't think that should count as a drop.
How does CeeDee Lamb keep getting open against the Eagles? I mean, like, everyone knows the Cowboys, even with George Pickens there, they're throwing to him every time. And somehow, there he is downfield. I mean, he is, first of all, part of being a receiver is to get separation, and he apparently is doing that well. So it's not like it was a complete loss. He was basically the offense last night for a chunk of the game. Once they set up the run, it's like the CeeDee just owns that team. So I'm not totally throwing out the baby with the bathwater in the case. Like, there was positives with him last night.
Yeah, you're also sick, though, about those drops. We also have a couple more questions out there for you. What was the more game-changing moment of last night's Cowboys-Eagles game, which the Eagles won 24-20? Was it Jalen Carter getting ejected basically before the game even started? It was before the first offensive snap. Yep, he spit on Dak Prescott, and now we get Hawk Tua back in our life, so thank you for that. Or the weather delay, which was late in the third quarter, took over an hour because of lightning in the area. Right now, 59% of you are saying the weather delay. And finally, our big question of the morning, are the Dallas Cowboys good? Existential question in some ways. No, trending at 63%. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got even more on this game.
Guys, Jalen Hurts only threw for 152 yards. A.J. Brown got one late target, but it didn't matter for the Eagles on opening night with the Cowboys in town because of Hurts' lower half.
Shotgun snap, drops back five, left tackle blocks. He looks right. Now he looks left. Now he's being chased. Runs to the 10 on the numbers. Angles to the far side, the five, to the pylon, the dive. Touchdown, Philadelphia. Hurts on the fly.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. Hurts scored twice on the ground, 62 yards total rushing, and he didn't get spit on. Dak Prescott took a direct hit from Jalen Carter before Dallas' first offensive snap.
I'm wet! I'm dirty!
Night.
That is one magic loogie.
And it got Carter ejected, but Philly survived his absence, pitching a second-half shutout. The Cowboys fumbling in the red zone in the third quarter, and their last possession ended on CeeDee Lamb's fourth drop of the game.
God has a mysterious way of humbling folks, and I did come in with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, but again, it's a lesson well learned, and again, I deserve everything that comes with it.
He's
mixing his metaphors there. If you come in with a chip on your shoulder, then you don't need to be humbled, no?
What?
Guy just lost the game, Maggie. Come on.
Right. I think he's trying to say he was overconfident.
Yeah, but then he said he came in with a chip on his shoulder.
Right, you have a chip on your shoulder being like, I'm going to destroy these guys.
I thought a chip on your shoulder is different. But anyway, back to Bokes.
Yeah, no,
it is brought to you by the new crispy tenders at CarMax.
What? In Madison, Illinois, just outside St. Louis.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I want to trip us up on something silly.
No, but I it did make sense to me when he said it originally. Because like, you go in, a chip on your shoulder means like you're kind of maybe acting too over the top and you need to be humbled.
No, already been humbled, so you have a chip on your shoulder, but you've been humbled before.
Chip on your shoulder means you have something to prove. I'm calling it chip on my shoulder means people are doubting me, and I have something that I have to.
Right, so he went in there and was trying to show off,
exactly,
and he got humbled by drops.
Okay, so it all works.
All right. Sure.
Yeah, Bogus got me.
I got you.
I thought actually, English language. For some reason, I didn't know you were going to a quote from CeeDee Lamb. I thought that was a Kevin Hart drop at first.
It was. It was something at the beginning of it.
It was Kevin Harlan, actually.
Kevin Harlan, yeah.
Oh, no. But then I thought, because Kevin Hart was floating around, that somehow he got it. Because you were dropping so many drops here, I didn't know what was actual real and what was.
Was Kevin Hart there last night?
I'm sorry, I'll shut up over here.
No, I like it. I didn't see Kevin Hart last night. I mean, obviously, Rob McElhenney introduced the team. I didn't see Bradley Cooper. Did you guys see him?
Nope. Because he's a fair weather fan.
Thank God.
Wow.
Oh, he might be working, Maggie.
The guy flies it from another awesome movie.
How dare you?
Hey,
no. Flies it from Lithuania for a week four game against Jets or something. I mean, the guy is dedicated.
Was he at the party you were at instead?
Mm.
With Nico, you and Nico.
Yeah. No, Bradley Cooper was not at the Barrett Media party.
Oh, okay. There were some WWE wrestlers there, though, right?
Yes, and I actually, there were two women wrestlers, and I was going to go do a video to say, oh, EJ, you could have been here for all this, but I just never got over there. Sorry, bud.
That's okay. I mean, listen, Chelsea Green, that's how they say it. Maxine Dupree, two great stars, but there'll be more opportunities.
Oh, Karloff wouldn't know these people if they body slammed you.
Not those two, no.
Okay.
By the way, I interviewed Becky Lynch. That was cool.
Ooh. I've since found out that I was very popular at this party last night because not only did you talk to DA about me, somebody went up to him that knows of me from high school and from Fordham and talked to DA about me.
Wow.
Well, I was all over the place last night. You can't get invited, but I'm top of mind.
See, I wouldn't like that.
Why?
That you're being talked about?
Exactly.
You were being talked about last night a lot.
And I'm not asking you for more details because, quite frankly, I don't want to know where those conversations went.
I'm sure there was unbecoming things said about me. That's fine. I would make fun of the two of you if somebody asked at some point. I'd say nice things.
See? Exactly.
Absolutely not unbecoming things said about you, Bogus. We're too busy ripping Maggie for being too lazy to come into Midtown on a Thursday night.
That sucks.
I know.
Everybody in the room loves Bogues. And everyone loves Maggie. Yeah, and people were sad. Like, people came up to me, and the look of disappointment when they had to just talk to me and not Maggie was palpable.
Were they hoping I would step out from behind? You're 6'4", and I could just hiding behind you. And
The party was for Barrett Media. Jason Barrett runs it. And his wife is a big part of it. Uh-huh. I'd never met her, so I said hi. And the look of disappointment on her face when you weren't there, Maggie, was...
Lord have mercy.
I was like, I might as well just... Not only might I just leave, I should just jump out this fourth floor window. Like, I've never felt more insignificant in my life. Now, then I'm like... Then I said to her, I'm like, how about that Andrew Bogus? And then we got back on track.
Talking smack about Bogus.
Former Cowboy receiver Amari Cooper, by the way, retiring instead of playing for the Raiders this season. The Texans might not have receivers Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios this weekend because of hamstring injuries. Paul Skeens dealing again last night.
Here's the set, and now an 0-2, and Ohtani strikes out on 98. Eight strikeouts for Skeens.
Eight strikeouts, no runs.
Run support.
Two hits allowed over six, and yes, he did. The Pirates beat the Dodgers last night 5-3 for a three-game sweep, and Skeens is now 10-9, the first time he's been over 500 this season.
Wow.
But his majors leading ERA drops again, now 1.98.
I was thinking he made Ohtani look so bad on that particular strikeout, maybe Skeens should try hitting.
Oh, that's a great
name. He was a big-time college hitter for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
I didn't know that. There you go.
You got to pull out the Air Force highlights to watch him swing a bat.
Or just get a time machine and go back to 2015 when the NL was still allowing pitchers to hit.
Who wants that?
Yeah, I like the strategy.
The strategy of striking out after four
pitches.
I do
miss double switches.
Oh, yeah, same. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you say that the NL got rid of the DH in 2015?
To be clear, I'm not saying that was when it happened. I'm saying I just named a random year to go to.
Because I was like, there's no way that was a decade ago.
No, it was pandemic.
It was COVID.
Yeah, it was COVID. Okay. Yeah. Phew. I'm like, you know, time passes in these weird ways. Like,
I wanted to give myself some space. I didn't know the exact year, but I was like, I know definitely in 2015 they were still hitting. I was in college, so.
Caitlin Clark will not play again this season because of her groin injury. She made that announcement on social media last night. The Golden State Valkyries making WNBA history last night, the first expansion team to make the playoffs in year one, courtesy of an 84-80 win over the Dallas Wings.
Yeah.
And the U.S. Open women's semifinals last night, top-seeded Aryna Sabalenka fought off Jessica Pegula and Amanda Anisimova, a three-set thriller over Naomi Osaka, their final is tomorrow.
That's not a good omen for the Bills. Jessica Pegula getting eliminated in the semifinals.
She's the Bills of tennis.
She is the Bills.
I love her. I think she's amazing. But she
lost the AFC title game in Arrowhead last night.
Look at that.
Well, it always happens too that right as the season is starting is the U.S. Open, and as the season is coming to a close, it's the Australian Open, which is the first major of the next year. And she's always on these runs that people try to tie in, like, "Oh, is this an omen for the Bills?" And like, spoiler, she has not won a major yet. So you know, fill in the blanks. But I love her. I think she's great. Okay, really quickly, just programming note here. Should I announce this now?
Yes.
Okay. So we had so much going on yesterday. We'll bring you our King of the Mountain results. We're launching new things and football season starting and Perloff's going to big parties and it's just crazy around here. So we meant to announce this yesterday, but we are doing a survivor pool on the show, which we'd love if you want to play along with us in the chat. Now, there's going to be no money. There's no prizes. But just for fun, pure pride, and just to, you know, be a part of it, you are welcome to play along with us. We want to do a survivor pool with some big punishment at the end.
Thinking out loud, could the winner ride to San Antonio with Perloff?
We cannot.
Or the loser.
Yeah, if you get bounced in the first
bogus
week,
bogus is throwing.
We are legally not allowed to offer you anything.
Bogus is like, I'll take the Browns.
Can I pick the Cowboys? Ooh, still?
I kind of like the Browns, by the way.
Anywho, I just wanted to make that clear for legal purposes. But if you would like to play along with us on your own, you can do that. So, when do you want to just take a quick break? We'll come back with our survivor picks because this is a tough week.
Is Bogus playing?
I haven't been invited yet. Here. I'm sorry. Can you leave and I'm going to announce this again? But no, but
Bogus has to be in this, of course.
I'm going to be in my own.
Does he?
He definitely does.
Bogus, Billy, Cap, of course. Hickey sits out there for the last 2 hours, even though he's on the next show.
Nico.
Well, Hickey will be out in week one, but he'll pick
you
the Colts.
You can pick all you want.
Anyone who's within arm's reach of the studio, you're welcome. So we'll make some... or the chat. So we'll make some picks coming up next. And we do have our King of the Mountain
got
results.
Some people from Wins, too, guys.
Oh, yeah. We could definitely take those news people. They don't know what's going on. Okay, when it comes to sports. 888-710-4ISN-MVP. All right, survivor pick time. Week one, this is always tough. Last year I went out in the first week. I was one of those idiots who picked the Bengals over the Patriots. They lost. My $25 went up in flames. This year, it's just the show. There's no money. Play around with us just for pure stupid pride and all of that. So do you guys want to give some picks? I mean, there's not a lot of great choices this week.
No, especially because it's week one and everything is up in the air. We saw in college football, like you have no idea what's going to happen. I'm going chalk. I do not want to go down in week one. We heard it earlier in the hour with Nick Kostos. I'm going Denver Broncos hosting the Tennessee Titans. They're 8-point favorites. I just do not want to go out after 1 week.
I know, but see, I feel like it's a trap. You know, it's a big spread, but, you know, quite frankly, last night was a big spread. And I know the game got very wonky because Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott and he got ejected from the game before the first offensive snap. But never know. Something weird could happen, and I don't want to go out with everyone else. So I think I'm going to go with Nick and Femi and pick the Jags. Okay. Although that's a dicey one, too, because Carolina, who knows what they're going to be out of the gate? No clue.
I mean,
I'm really relying on the home field there.
Some preseason hype around the Panthers. That actually surprised
me. Hype around everybody because you can talk yourself into anything.
That's true. I don't know. Yeah, it's actually even some preseason hype about the Titans, but to go on the road to that defense seems impossible.
Anyone doing a game not that's different than that between Bogus, EJ, and Manny?
I am.
Okay, what do you got?
I'm going Cardinals.
Oh, man.
6.5 going to New Orleans.
On the road.
New Orleans is awful, and Kylo's usually pretty good to start a season.
He is. They almost beat the Bills last year, week one.
Yeah, but they should have won that game.
They definitely should. They got hosed on a call.
Yeah, that was weird. Yep.
Okay. Anyone else? No? Everyone else doing Broncos?
I like those two games that you got that you mentioned, Maggie, and that EJ did it. Just it's not the time to overthink in week one. I've made that mistake and been out immediately. Yeah. I got to go Broncos. If they lose, shame on them, not on me.
Yo, Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I have a very awkward situation with the survivor pool, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
So I have a sort of betting fantasy partner. We kind of
That's what we've never heard this guy. I don't even know if you've ever told us his name.
No, I'd rather keep that behind the scenes. So he thinks that I'm in. He's on like a $100,000 survivor pool that he won.
My goodness,
he won
like I make him something like 30 a few years ago. So I'm like, you got to get me in on this because he's got another team that uses algorithms, and I don't even know if that's true, but I'm wildly impressed. So he's like, we're counting on $500 from you this year. I don't want to pay it. I'm not doing it. I don't care if I can win 30. I'm not burning $500 because last year I did it and got destroyed early on.
Okay, wait. But so he won 30K one time.
Yeah.
He's got this algorithm. You have access to the algorithm.
I have access to the algorithm because he's on another sort of gambling team.
Okay. And you told him I want in. And then yes. he came back and said, great, you're in.
No, this that'll, was, I was in
$500.
Last year. I was in last year. It wasn't $500. It was less.
Oh.
Now, all of a sudden, he's counting on this $500. And I forgot, because things are so busy preseason, I forgot to tell him, I'm not $500. I'm sorry.
It's a lot of money.
I know this is a big Infinity Sports Radio Network money. But 500 on Survivor, especially.
Does he take Odyssey coins?
Yeah.
We may have an Odyssey merch.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, for some reason,
would
a Survivor
pool. Like a hat or a mouse pad?
I got a backpack.
I'd rather spend the $500 just betting on a weekly basis. I don't really want to.
I'd rather lose my money in weekly installments yeah. than one lump sum.
I followed your lead last night and threw some money down on the Cowboys to cover. And that worked out great.
Paid for breakfast for all y'all today. And yeah, I put that Cowboys
delicious.
Plus seven. I might have lost the Micah Parsons. How many times would he be mentioned on the broadcast bet within the first 5 minutes? But I did win the Cowboys plus the points, a bet that I made the day the line came out.
Yeah. By the way, I maintain, and nobody's able to, that never happens if it wasn't for the rain delay. The Eagles were about to go up. And start, I think their offense was about to get super hot, and then it just all disappeared.
I mean, I don't know about that. I think it might not happen if Jalen Carter doesn't get suspended. I'm not saying that Eagles shouldn't have looked better, but the bottom line is the Cowboys were in that game. And that's why we're asking the question, are the Cowboys good? And it's one that's kind of like flummoxing us and the callers, because they looked better than I thought they were going to look last night. I don't know if that means they're good. And I don't have them making the playoffs. They're still plus money to make the playoffs, so not a favorite. I don't know how much to take from last night.
But before we run out of time, by the way, this was a big topic on the show all week. If the Steelers lose to the Jets, it's a disaster. I'm taking the Steelers. I know it's -3, and the Jets are good in week one. I feel like there's way too much confidence in this building about a New York Jets team after the Elijah Vera Tucker. That honestly is a... For me, like, the feel-good game of the week is those Steelers. Again, I know...
Feel-good for who?
Feel-good in the sense that, like, I feel good about it.
Uh-oh. it's all about you, isn't it, Mr. Perloff?
Yeah, I guess as I was saying that, I'm like, this doesn't totally make sense. I just think that, I don't know why, I have drinking this stupid Aaron Rodgers Kool-Aid again after I picked the
he
Jets.
He literally might have a drink for you.
Yeah,
called
I don't
stupid
know why.
He'll be on a magic carpet ride 20 minutes later, but.
You know how he's addicted to
chloroform smell weird?
Actually, it's more like tea than Kool-Aid.
I just can't help myself. I can't quit that guy. I don't know what it is.
It's his charm.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
There's I don't know. Is what he's doing addictive? I have no idea. But quickly before we go.
No.
Yesterday was gangbusters. We launched our King of the Mountain project, which was super fun. We're going to continue 25 weeks, 25 of the greatest teams in NFL history going head to head. So the first was the 1998 Minnesota Vikings, maybe the greatest team to never win a Super Bowl, up against the 1972 Miami Dolphins, the only team to ever go undefeated wire to wire. And the 72 Dolphins, Pearl, have won. So they are now the King of the Mountain. Final score was 69% to 31%.
Nice. Okay.
Decisive. And this was always going to be tough because you had a team that is perfect against a team that was so good, but obviously didn't win.
Yeah, I mean, that was a rough draw for the Minnesota Vikings. One of my favorite teams of all time, Randy Moss. Recently watched a Thanksgiving game. Great, one of the great games of all time.
So now the Miami Dolphins, 1972.
84 don't stretch on game day.
Are the King of the Mountain. So next Thursday, we do this Thursday, 8 a.m. Eastern time, every week, we will put the Dolphins up against another randomized team out of our pool of the 25 greatest ever.
Yeah, I mean, I sure hope there are no Eagles teams that come against this perfect team because nobody's got a better record, Maggie's math.
So we're kind of wondering now.
You should have been a mathematician, man.
You need an Ivy League degree for that one.
You could say they're the feel-good team of that era.
I
feel good about them not losing a game.
So we'll see if the Dolphins could run the table yet again in a different kind of way. You think, though, one of the more modern teams is going to catch them.
Yeah, I think recency bias. If you saw Joe Montana's Niners, you're probably going to vote for them. I mean, that's not even recent. I'm sorry.
That was like, did you mean 1984?
I don't know. I feel like there's more lore. I feel like the 80... Again, whenever we do these, I always look at that one team out of 85 Bears, baby. I assume they made our top 25 list.
Oh, yeah. Rex Grossman was on the quarterback of that team.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers, Nick Costos, who's going to join us every Friday during the NFL season. Enjoy the weekend. See you Monday.